going to hopefully keep it relatively short. I just wanted to take a passage from Matthew chapter 11, and the last part of Matthew 11, we've got verses 25 down to verse 30. And I want to preach from verse 28 to 30. I'm just going to read verses 25 to 30. And it says, "At that time Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them unto children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to anyone the Son chooses to reveal him.'" And then Jesus says these most amazing words, which are just found in this gospel, but they completely blow us away. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I kind of just chopped the sermon up just into three simple chops. Come, give, and take. Okay? I just want to start with the come. Jesus, the first words that Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor." And just in this passage, off the bat, Jesus is basically, it's a call, it's a salvation call, isn't it? It's a call to anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "If you don't know me, come to me." And that's important. That is the crux of the gospel. That's the gospel message. But the fact remains is that whether we've been a Christian 5 minutes, whether we've been a Christian 10 minutes, whether we've been a Christian 50 years, we still need to come because we become heavy laden. So anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ, yes, they're heavy laden because they have no answers. But even when we become a Christian, all of us would testify that life didn't become easier. But Jesus is saying, "Come all you who are heavy laden." Now that can mean a load which is based on a sin, a besetting sin. The Bible talks about the besetting sin which we cannot get rid of, the besetting sin that every time we feel that God has helped us to conquer it, and then all of a sudden we fall into that sin again. Jesus is saying, "Come, all who are heavy laden by that sin, I will give you rest from that sin." As Christians, we will go through times of sorrow. We'll go through times when our hearts are broken, when our lives feel like there is no way out, where we are going through the valley of the shadow of death. And Jesus says, he will come to us. He says, "Come, all you who are heavy laden, all you who are sorrowful, all you who are in pain, come, and I will give you rest." And then in this day and age, we see that there is anxiety and there is remorse. There is worry over where the next check is going to come from to be paid. There is stuff where there's stuff going on in our families. There's stuff going all around us. There's stuff going on in the mission. And then we get anxious over it. And Jesus says, "Come, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that coming when we're heavy laden is that whole trust, coming to God in trust, seeking him, realizing that, okay, I don't know where the next penny is coming from. I don't know what is happening in my relationship. I can't understand what is happening around me, but I am going to trust God because I feel heavy laden, and I am going to come to him. And that remarkable offer that God gives, he says, "I will give you rest." And then later on in the verse, he says, "You will find rest for your weary souls." I work in London and I live in Bristol. And one of the things that I see working in the city of London is that there is just this whole issue of work and unrest. No one is satisfied. I think it was Disraeli, an old prime minister, he talked about climbing to the top of the greasy pole. And even then you're slipping down the greasy pole. And it is like that. You see that day in, day out. You see relationships breaking down. You see people, September, October of last year, we had about 3 jumpers jumping off buildings in like, it was like a 2-week period, because they were just, whatever was going on in the market, they felt that they couldn't go on. And all around us, we see that our world, our environments are characterized by unrest. But God is saying, "I will give you rest. you will find rest for your souls in me. And if we think about it, sometimes we do something, we say something, we may gossip or whatever, and our conscience pricks us, doesn't it? Our conscience, and our conscience stops us from feeling restful because we've perhaps said something where we may have had a good intention, we may have not meant to say something bad, but it's been construed in a certain way, and then we can't rest because in our conscience we're going, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But then there's other times where our hearts are hurting. Our hearts are hurting because maybe we see something in our children, or maybe we see something in our spouse, or we see something in our family. Things are breaking down, people are arguing, and our hearts are hurting. But Jesus is saying, you will find rest in me, trust me. There's times when I was speaking to a friend and they were saying that sometimes I feel like God really can't pardon my sin. Yes, he saved me, but I don't believe he could. My sin was just too bad. Yes, I believe that Jesus saved me, but I don't think he can pardon my sin. But he's saying, no, don't be like that. He is saying, come and rest in me. I can pardon your sin. Peace that comes from a right relationship with God enables us to live every day in the power of the Holy Spirit. It allows us not to have uncertainty. And the fact that there's uncertainty out there, it allows us to say, you know what? The future looks uncertain, but I am sure that I'm in the grip of Jesus Christ and he's holding me. It stops us from having irrational fear. Knowing God stops us from having irrational fear. There are so many things to be fearful about. So it's wonderful to see all the children around this morning. But just as a parent myself, you think to yourself, as you bring your children up, there are so many fears. Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Are they going to be influenced by this one or that one? But we have to cast our care on Jesus Christ. And Jesus promises that he'll give us peace of heart. And that peace comes from the Spirit which is indwelling us. And the exciting thing about that is that a faith which is born out of the Spirit who is indwelling us means that we will start to produce the fruit which the Spirit gives. And that fruit is joy, is peace, is love, is long-suffering, is kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Don't we want to produce those things? And as we trust in God and we hold him to his promises, as he says, come you, all you who are laden, he then gives us that peace through his Spirit. But rest is more than that. There is that holding on to God. There's that realizing that if we throw all of what we have upon God, he will help us, he will enable us, he will guide us, he will strengthen us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But there's more. Think of this. In the beginning, you had the first 6 days of creation, and we saw this magnificent God throwing the sun and the moon and the stars into the heavens. We see the valleys and the mountains coming up and going down. We see the fish in the sea, the birds in the air. And then on the sixth day, we see God creates man and woman in his own image. The pinnacle of creation, a man and a woman in God's own image on the sixth day. And then their first full day was the seventh day. And what did God do on that day? He rested, didn't he? God rested on the seventh. So the first full day, before they named the animals, before they tasted the fruit, before they made babies, they rested. And we in our society have flipped that around. God said, okay, the first day for humankind, after they've been created, is going to be a day of rest, a day with me, chilling out, yeah? And what do? We swap that around. We don't rest so that we can work. We work so that we can rest. Everything, so I work as hard as I can, and then I get a rest at the end. As opposed to, I will rest in Jesus Christ so that I can give. So that I can be a good, solid Christian, so that I can be what God has called me for, so that I can disciple as God has called me to disciple. And think about this. Being a missional church, a church on mission, it is hard in that embryonic stage where everyone has to do everything. You need to concentrate on resting in Jesus Christ so that everything else becomes easy. Because you are starting from a position of rest as opposed to a position of working. And that's what God set up. He set up a time of chilling with God, and then after that, name the animals. Enjoy the fruit. Do all you want to do in the garden. But that was from a position of rest. And the society we live in has gone from working from a position of rest to working, to resting from a position of work. I just think that maybe in the church circles and as evangelical Christians, we need to think about how we view work and how we view rest. Now, the way that we work out rest is something that we do in our churches, something that we do in our communities. Certain churches would say that you have to have one day in seven. Others would say that the Sabbath rest is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But that rhythm that God set up, which is all about rest, we need to think about that. And I think that if we're always focusing on resting in Christ, that means that whenever we have a heavy laden, whenever we have sorrow, whenever we have pain, whenever we have hurt, because we have a rhythm of rest, we are casting that back onto God so that therefore he can take that load upon him and that he can send us back into the mission field. He can send us back into the world of work. He can send us into our marriages. He can send us into our difficult relationships with our families because we have rested and we have abided in God. There's you may have heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they found old translations of the Gospels, and there's a Syriac translation. And it's quite a simple translation which came from Syria. It's the 5th century, so 500 years after Jesus rose again. And I just love the translation. It basically, taking those bits I'm talking about, it says, this is Jesus talking, it says, come to me and I will rest you, for I am restful and you shall find rest for yourselves. It's a super, super simple version. But come to me and I will rest you, for I am restful. And you will find rest for yourselves. Isn't that beautiful? That Jesus is saying, he's saying, you know, in the commandments where it talks about, you know, do not forget the Sabbath day, it is as important as do not kill. And somehow, somewhere along the line, we go, yeah, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not envy your, or covet your neighbor's donkey, well, not donkey anymore, but whatever your neighbor's got, like his car. We say, yeah, we mustn't do that. But we forget that amongst the commandments, do not forget to rest. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Jesus, God, in the beginning, took rest to be just as important as do not murder. And somehow, that's been lost in our society. And then there's the last point, is just taking. Jesus calls us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The exciting thing is that there is no small print with Jesus. It's not you've got to do this, that. He just says, take my yoke upon you. Believe in me. Trust in me. Trust in me. That's his yoke. Trust in me because it's easy. So the yoke is like a Jewish thing where the rabbis, everything that the rabbi was teaching that you had to do, that was called the yoke that you put on, and you followed all the rules and regulations that the rabbi gave. So he's taking that from the Jewish culture, and he's saying, but it's not like, you know, oh, when you're watching X Factor, if you do watch X Factor, I don't do that, but if you watch X Factor and you see an act that you like and you want to do one of those texts, you can text 5414 whatever to, and then it says texts are £1.50 as a small print. You go, oh, forget that for a joke. Do you know what I mean? But there's no small print here. Jesus says, all he's saying is, take my yoke upon you. Trust in me, because it's easy and it's light. And so often we're trying to work things out. We're trying to work situations out. We're trying to change situations by our strength. And Jesus says, no. Rest in me. And he then goes, because I am gentle and lowly of heart. Now this is the bit that really blew me away. Because if you think about it, he's saying to us, so we've started, he's saying, if you've got a burden, so your burden may be sin, your burden may be doubt, your burden may be disappointment, your burden may be things that you are struggling with, but he's saying, I am gentle and lowly of heart. And I'm just going to give you a couple of examples which really show us how gentle and lowly of heart. Jesus showed in death that he truly understood sorrow. Remember Mary and Martha at Bethany? Lazarus, who Jesus loved, it said, did Jesus love Lazarus, didn't it? And then Lazarus dies. And Jesus leaves it a couple of days. Lazarus is sick. Jesus leaves it a little while. Instead of shooting down there, he leaves it and then he goes. And they say, Master, if you'd come sooner, he wouldn't have had to die. And we see that Jesus cries. Jesus shows immense, deep sorrow. And that's the same sorrow that he's saying that he will show to us when we come to him with our sorrow. He can empathize with our sorrow. He can empathize with our weakness. And that's an amazing thing that he did with Lazarus. Peter denied God, right? This probably one of the worst sins that you could ever do. He said, I do not know him. He denied that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus had every right to slap him upside his head, didn't he? But what did he say? He says to Peter, do you love me? That's Jesus showing that he is gentle and low of heart. Imagine if one of our friends, we were about to get beaten up, and they could stop us getting beaten up and killed, or they could stop our wife getting beaten up and killed. And they go, I don't know, it's nothing to do with me. You can do what you want with them. That's exactly what Peter did. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he could have had a go, couldn't he? And what does he say? He says, do you love me? And he's teaching us that in his character, there is that lowliness of spirit. He's saying, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you are struggling with. It doesn't matter what's happening in your family, in your situation. What matters is that you come with your laden shoulders, with the yoke you've got on you, and you come to me. The disciples after resurrection, remember in the garden, we had all these, the Judas leads, all the men with their clubs and their torches, and the disciples just disappear. In the moment that Jesus perhaps needs them most, he didn't, did he? But in the moment that they should have been there for him, they all disappear. And then Jesus raises from the dead, and rather than going and round them up and having a go at them, he just shows himself to them. He just shows himself to them, and he says to them, it doesn't matter. Go into the world and make disciples of the nations as you go. Think about that. Sometimes I think when we're on mission and we're doing mission, sometimes Hannah and I talk about this a lot. You know, people come and say, oh, have you planted yet? Or have you done this yet? Or have you done that yet? And sometimes you say, oh, do you know what? I am so rubbish. I can't do this. This is too hard. And then you start to think, hold on a minute. There are going to be ups and downs, but Jesus just says, just go. Just keep as you go. As you go. Don't let the pressures of the world do it. As you go. So as you go as a church, you may think sometimes, oh man, we haven't grown. We haven't become bigger. We haven't done this. We haven't done... Forget that. Think about this. There was a man called Moses, wasn't there? How old was he when he started to lead the children of Israel? 80 years, isn't it? 40 years in the palace, having the best education in the world. 40 years standing behind some sheep. 40 years standing behind some sheep from his 40th year onwards. And then when he's 80, God says, now you're ready. And we sit there and we go, oh, we need to be doing this, we need to grow, we need to... No, God is never in a hurry to make a man of God, a woman of God, or a church of God. But what God wants is things that will last. Things, when they're consumed in the fire, produce gold. So sometimes when you feel the pressure all around you, well, Hill City isn't a massive church here, or oh, that person's left your church, don't worry. Rest. Remain. Throw yourselves into the arms of a loving God who is teaching and is training you for such a time as this. That's what Joseph said, didn't he? Esther, yeah, you're right, sorry, it wasn't Joseph. But with Joseph, do you remember he was as a 17-year-old, he went into prison, and he was in prison as a 17-year-old, and he didn't come out of prison until in his 30s, his mid-30s. He is then used to save the people of Israel, isn't he? The people of Israel, he is used to save later on. And yeah, it wasn't Esther, wasn't it? It was Mordecai who turns and says to Esther, you know, maybe God has saved you for such a time as this. And that's what we need to remember. The other thing is that some of you who've been converted in the last however many years, and sometimes stuff happens in life and you start to doubt God. You start to doubt God at his promises. And you start to think, does he really want good for me? Is Christianity really, really true? Yeah, I felt it, but I'm not feeling it now. Is it really, really true? And then you start thinking, oh, no, I'm denying God. What did he do with Thomas? He just went up to Thomas. He says, feel my hands. Feel my hands. See my side. We have got a gracious and a good Heavenly Father who calls us to rest in him. But as we rest in him, he has a way of dealing with us. Do you love me? Feel my hands. He cries with us in our weakness. Yeah? I think that is important. Let me just read that passage again, that last two verses again. And just think about where you are at the moment, whether you've had the feelings of, God, this is hard work, and I feel that, you know, I'm exhausted from all the work that we're doing in planting, or you felt the pressure that, oh, we're not as big as we ought to be, or there's things outside of you, like in your family, and things that are not working out, or maybe it's things which have happened in the past and you can't let them go because you feel wronged, or you feel justice wasn't done, or you feel that life is hard. But let me read this, and read what Jesus says to us in this passage. He says, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. Heavy laden, whatever that is. All you who are heavy laden, That thing in the moment when you're by yourself just driving along, and that painful thought that comes into your mind when you remember something in the past. That time, that person that you're worrying over in your family, that broken relationship that potentially you have. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. All you who labor at the mission field. All you who want to see your neighbors get saved, and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and nothing happens. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Trust me. Listen to me. And learn from me. For I am gentle and I am lowly of heart. And you will find rest for your souls. That's a picture, that rest for your souls. That's a picture of what we're going to receive. You know, there's that brilliant verse in Revelation where it says, and he will wipe away every tear. I love that. It's just a thought that all of those things which hurt us so much, all of those things whereby we have good times and then we remember other things which aren't right, and in this world there's all these things, and then there's one day that Jesus is going to wipe away every tear. But he says, you will find rest for your souls. We can have rest here, down here. We can have rest. We can enjoy resting in the bosom of the Almighty Father God, who says, you don't need to be anxious. You don't need to worry. You don't need to work. You have me. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's believe that. And in those moments, just in those moments where it feels so hard, it feels so hard, in those moments where life does feel difficult, in those moments where people are saying things about you which aren't true, because you are on the battle line in a small town where everyone knows who you are, rest in the loving arms of a loving God who loves you and wants the best for you. Heavenly Father and gracious God, we thank you that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords, that you know us inside out. You know every inch of us. You know every aspect of Pontypridd, Pontypool. You know every aspect of where Hill City Church is located, where all the members are. But Lord, the wonderful thing is that you have said that we are to come to you for rest. You've told us that we are to abide in you. That yes, you will prune us, but you will help us to bear much fruit. So we just thank you for a wonderful day today, enjoying the wonderful sea. We thank you for our brother who just drifted out. Thank you that he didn't drift too far, but he came back. But we just thank you, Lord, that we can enjoy your nature, we can enjoy the beach, we can enjoy all things. But most of all, O Lord, that we can worship you because you are there for us, and that you died so that we can live and live life to the full. May we remember rest, O God. May we remember what you have taught us about rest. May we not be conformed to this world, but may we be conformed to you. May we be more Christ-like. And I just pray your blessing would fall down upon everyone in this room, O Lord. I pray your blessing upon Hill City Church. I pray, Lord, that many, many, many people will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that you may be lifted high and be made much of. For your glorious name we pray. Amen.